close your eyes. Take a deep breath. And imagine a man or a woman in a glass case, sealed shut, hands cuffed and chained behind his or her back, feet cuffed and bound by shackles, and water that stops right at the neck. So the water is from covering them from the neck down. Now, after you have that vision, I want you to swap and put yourself in that glass case and envision the cuffs being your job, the shackles are your children, and that water that stops right at your neck is your relationship or your marriage. Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you to episode 2, entitled Escapism. Thank you. Welcome back. Glad you can make it to episode 2. If you haven't heard episode 1, I would probably stop this and go check that. Episode was entitled Toxic Relationships. And I think that this episode may tether and tie into a little bit of that realm. So that would be like a good foundation. But if you want to stick around, hey, stick around. Today we're talking about escapism. Well, first and foremost, if you've never heard of the word, what is escapism? Well, let's just go ahead and stick to the Merriam-Webster definition. Escapism is the habitual diversion of the mind to purely imaginative activity and entertainment as an escape from reality or routine. So to paraphrase that, escapism is merely one's attempt to play make-believe to escape what's going on in reality. I think that there are numerous ways that one can do that. But in today's episode, I'm going to highlight 2 specific ways. Why? Because these are just the 2 ways that I know. These are 2 ways that I've seen. But I am human, and I believe that I may have been on the receiving and sometimes the giving end of these scenarios. So without further ado, when we come back after a brief pause, we will delve into scenario number 1 of escapism. And here we are. No particular order, but escapism route number 1 would be to escape via absence. I also like to refer to this as being presently absent. You hear the paradox? Do you hear the contradiction? On one hand, you're present, but on the other, you're absent. So you're there physically, but your mind is elsewhere. Now, how does this tie into escapism? It's a good question. I'll give a scenario or two. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you can't. But I think somewhere, somehow, there will be some people that can relate. Let's take Jane. Jane has been working for her company for 7 years. Jane has had minor successes, but what really sticks out in the forefront of Jane's mind is the lack of mobility. You see, let's say Jane started out in the company and she was making $12 an hour. And then we fast forward up to the 7th year, present day, and now Jane is making $17.50. Now, some people out there will be like, wow, that's a $5.50 increase. It's not too bad. Yet, Jane still holds the same title. Now, most places and most companies, I would imagine, if you were to make a $5 jump, there would probably be some type of change in title and or status in that company. But that's neither here nor there, because Jane works not only her finger to the bone, but she's working her brain down to the very last neuron. Yet, it seems like the higher ups never give her her just due. Yeah, her paycheck is larger than it was when she first started, but her morale is in the gutter. So what happens? Jane starts to show up to work every day a shell of herself. Now, Jane is a hard worker, so she goes to work, even though she's a shell of her natural self, she still works her finger to the bone and her brain down to the last neuron, but there's no passion. The drive is there, but the passion is long gone. Now, Jane is at work, presently absent. Because she's present, she's doing her job, but her mind has been gone from that place. She's just there, she does her task, she gets her check. Let's introduce John. John happens to be Jane's spouse. Now, the part of Jane that has died and was executed by the job, John gets to handle the corpse day in and day out when Jane gets off of work. John's tried many times to sympathize because he doesn't understand. Therefore, he can't empathize. But John and Jane are not speaking the same language. So it seems as though they don't understand each other. And throughout the years, this has caused an extreme rift in their relationship. To the point where now John has given up. He doesn't care. He's washed his hands of the situation and feels like, well, I guess Jane will figure out what Jane figures out with this job. He loves Jane, but he's tired of dealing with the baggage outside. Not just, we're not talking about what's going on within the marriage. We're talking about the baggage from outside of the marriage that's also weighing the marriage down. John has become a shell of a husband. And now John is presently absent. And we're back. Escapism route number two. If you couldn't relate to route one in either of those scenarios, whether it would be Jane or John or a combination of the two, you may know someone, or maybe you, that may be able to relate to route number two. I didn't do that on purpose. It just happened that way. Escape via substance. No particular substance. You pick the vice. Alcohol, pills, weed, shrooms, whatever. Whatever the person's vice is to take them to another place. This is a very common source of escapism. It's probably the most common. You work Monday through Friday. And every Friday, you and the boys, or you and the girls, or you in the office, let's go over to Frank's. Frank's is the local tavern. Let's go over to Frank's and get a couple rounds. It's been a long week. And you do that every week to get over the long week. Though be it, it may be a small version of escapism, but it is escapism nonetheless. Because guess what? On Monday, unless it's a holiday, then on Tuesday, it's right back to the same old, same old. Escapism. Oh, for the parents. Whoo! Little Johnny's a handful. Wow. Another rough day at school. Came home, bouncing off the walls. Couldn't get him to do any homework. Barely got him to eat any dinner. Took forever to give him a bath, a shower. and he's finally down for bed. I'm exhausted, but I can't sleep. Let me take my daily sleeping pill so I can go to sleep and wake up and do it all again. You see, at some point, psychologically, you've lost the will and desire to fall asleep on your own. Now you're dependent upon a pill to help you sleep. Not only does that pill help you sleep, but it knocks you out so cold that you almost forgot about the day with Johnny. Until that alarm rings the next day, and it's time to do it all over again. That is escapism. Oh my word. Here she comes again, nagging and nagging. I could never do anything right. What did I do wrong this time, dear? Yes, ma'am. I will get to the honey-do list tomorrow, I promise. And then you hit your little room that you call the man cave. And you put on your favorite site, double X, triple X, quadruple X, whatever you want to, whatever. Well, you know the sites I'm talking about. And you're looking at Becky and Susan, and they are looking so tantalizing, and they help you release, if you know what I mean. And then when you're done, and you clean up the area, and you head back into that bedroom with a deer who's knocked out from having a couple glasses of wine because she's tired out from nagging and complaining about what you did wrong and work and kids. You climb in bed next to her and you fall asleep. Wow, at least I feel a little bit better. Until that alarm rings tomorrow and you get to do it all over again. That is, what is it, ladies and gentlemen? You already know what it is. Escapism. Now let me bring this all in together as we conclude this thing here called escapism. You see, when you listen to those scenarios I just gave in this segment, what was the common theme or the common denominator? It wasn't the substance. It wasn't the act of escape. It was the fact that you were only able to escape temporarily because the next day you got to do it all over again. You see, escapism is not the key or the answer, because all it does is put a bandage on a gaping wound. It's only a temporary fix. Escapism is not the answer. Being presently absent is not the answer. Using substances to ease the pain is not the answer. The answer is to look at the issues head on, figure out how to attack the issues head on, and then start to plug away and chip away at the resolve. It's the only way. The true escape is to face that wall that's in front of you with a jackhammer or a sledgehammer and start swinging and start chipping away at knocking that wall down. That's the only way you can escape, because these other temporary escapes, that wall is still standing and it's going to smack you right in the face the next morning that you wake up. Now, this is going to be the conclusion of episode number 2, escapism. But the segue and lead in to episode number 3, which is very important to everyone, but especially to my community. If you don't know, let me inform you. I am an African-American male that's in my mid to late 30s. I've seen a lot of years. I've heard a lot of things from my community. In episode 3, we will be talking about mental health in the way that it needs to be fixed in our community. So thank you for tuning in to episode number 2. I hope you enjoyed. Listen to it 2, 3, 4, 5 times. Let it soak in, because next week we about to do the heavy lifting. Make sure you listen to episode 1 too, if you haven't heard that yet. Toxic relationships to escapism to mental health in the Black community. I love y'all. Subscribe to my podcast. Share it. Send me some emails. Let's get a conversation going. Until next week, be blessed.